Hi, this is Manton Reese.
And this is Daniel Chalkett.
And this is Core Intuition, that stupid large phone. All right, Daniel, well, next week we have the big iPhone event. And I say iPhone event, it's when Apple is going to presumably announce the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, whatever they call the new iPhones, but that's probably it. But it's not just iPhone. They're adding a whole bunch of stuff in this event, rumor has it. The big first one is the Apple TV, right?
Very big. I mean, God, how long have we been waiting for something quote-unquote big? It makes you wonder, like, you know, Steve Jobs famously used to describe it as a hobby. The stuff that's about to be announced, how much of this stuff was just like, did he think was right around the corner? And now it's years after his death, maybe finally coming to fruition. There was that whole rumor, remember, when the widely regarded as very bad, but also widely read Walter Isaacson book came out. Did you read that, Manton?
You know, I started it and I didn't, I didn't finish it. And I think I would have read it more quickly and actually finished it like a week later if I didn't hear so many people say they were disappointed by it. It kind of soured my, I was like, it's like someone tells you a movie's terrible that you were excited to see. Like,
right.
Okay. Maybe I'll see it later.
It's like somebody says, oh, Mars Edit sucks, right when you're starting to download it. And then you're like, ugh.
Delete.
Delete. Trash. Hold on, let me download it a couple more times and waste this guy's bandwidth.
Right. So, but what you're getting at is there's this line in there where Steve says something like, I finally cracked it or something, right? It's like, I finally figured out TV.
Yeah. And you don't know how much that's like an insight into some brilliant Steve Jobs thing, or how much it's just some like BS Steve Jobs thing that he just said while he was high on his own ideas. Or you don't know how much it's some Walter Isaacson fluffed up version of the truth that doesn't actually match reality. Steve Jobs could have said like, yeah, well, I think I cracked it.
Right. Loses something once you write those words down.
I think I finally cracked it. So, the stuff that's alluded to be happening, right, is big stuff. I mean, and big stuff, I think, that will appeal to a variety of different people. The rumor that there is going to finally be an app platform for the device, I think the strong implication there is that it will be a relatively open app platform. That is to say, folks like you and I could potentially develop for it.
Yeah, I don't really count it as an app platform if it's locked to 5 partners or even 20. Like, that doesn't count.
No, I agree. And because it's already got that. It's already been... Yeah. It already is an app platform as far as that is concerned. I think a lot of the rumors right now are solidifying around a report that came from John Peskowski. It's a lot of letters in a row that would be, I think, easy for our Polish friends to pronounce, but I'm not as confident. And he's a writer for BuzzFeed, and we'll link to it, but he basically claims it's going to be $149 to start. It's going to have an app platform. It's going to have a universal search feature. And what else?
New remote, right? I haven't read this article yet.
Oh, yeah. New, and so there's something there for everybody, right? Like I guess, you know, on top of all that, there's the content rumors, right? Aren't there still rumors that... Apple is going to have finally made some deals, or is the prevailing thought now that they've just decided to go ahead with the hardware and make the deals later? I think I saw something along those lines that it was like, well, it's Apple, so if they don't have the deals, they can make the device that is so attractive to deals that everyone's going to feel like they'll be dumb not to be part of the deals.
I think that's fine, and yeah, it's the kind of thing that if you didn't have the app platform, you would need something big like a brand new music or video deal with different networks or whatever. But if you have an app store and you have a whole new set of types of things you can do with the Apple TV that Apple hasn't even thought of, and you have a new remote and has a touch thing on it, and like you could build all sorts of crazy stuff that they didn't even plan for, that totally overshadows any content deal, right? The content deal is a footnote on that. It's like, yeah, great, there's new content, but that's not the big story.
Right. And I mean, it's getting to be more and more the case that, like, how much content is there left that's even desirable on on conventional television? I mean, it's getting to the point where it's like, so, I don't have Hulu, for example, but it seems like a lot of the conventional TV, like network television programming, is available on Hulu.
Yeah, I mean, Hulu, so Hulu is available on everything pretty much, including the Apple TV. But the two big things that are not on the Apple TV that would show up immediately, I think, if you had an app store without Apple doing anything, would be Sling, which is, you know, we got rid of our TV cable for to use Sling instead. It's a $20 a month thing. It's basically like the 10 best cable channels for significantly less, right? So you get like ESPN, TNT, you know, whatever, Cartoon Network, HDTV. You get a bunch of stuff that people like altogether, $20 a month, streaming over the internet. Doesn't work on the Apple TV, right? So that's something they could do. Also, Amazon. I don't believe Amazon Video is available to Apple TV, but that's something, you know, you make an app for it. And the problem is solved. But this is a big thing, because like having that stuff means you can have one device again. Because right now, if you use Amazon streaming, if you use Sling, like I mentioned, you need a Roku or something else, or Xbox 360 or One, or you need something that has those channels that the Apple TV doesn't. And so that's a huge thing, to be able to go back to one device and have it be your Apple TV. Right now, if someone, not forgetting about next week, if someone said you can only have one thing connected to your TV, I'd have to say the Roku. Because it has just much more stuff, you know? It's like it's not locked down in the way that the Apple TV is.
You know, you just have to hope that Apple's famous drawing a line in the sand doesn't prevent them from allowing... I mean, all the stuff you're talking about is on the assumption that approval policies, et cetera, will be along the lines of what they are for iOS devices.
That's true, yeah.
And I hope that that's true, and I hope they're not like, well, we're going to be a little more stingy about this. We don't want to give Amazon an edge, or we don't want to give whoever. It's hard to tell these days who thinks they're competing right with whom. But
I think it'll be okay. I'm optimistic, because they already have channels on the Apple TV that are in the same category of networks. For example, HBO.
Yeah.
Although that's a little different, because you have HBO Go, which is where you pay HBO directly and you can watch on your Apple TV. And then you have HBO Now, which is much more about like getting started on the Apple TV and using in-app purchase to go that route. But there's other stuff, right, where you have to sign in. Like the NBA channel is like that. You have to have an NBA account and you pay NBA directly, but you can watch from the Apple TV.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to lock this down too much and be too crazy. Maybe initially they will. Maybe they'll have a lot of rejections at the beginning, but I think that'll work itself out. And I imagine that the Apple TV app store will be just as open once they get things worked out in 6 months or something, just as open as the iPhone app store, which is to say it's not open at all, but I don't think it'll be more restricted. And they're going to want games. And I mean, they're going to have to approve almost all games that come through. I mean, they're going to want that kind of stuff on this device.
They're going to need fart apps.
You know? Oh, no.
You know, our TV habits have ended up centering these days around TiVo. We are late subscribers to the TiVo revolution. So I made the mistake probably a year ago when we moved into our new house. I made the probable mistake of not only buying a TiVo, but also doing the thing where you pay like hundreds of dollars to buy
a lifetime.
Yeah.
Free money for them.
Yeah, because I'm like, I am so tired of paying monthly fees for set-top boxes.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of paying, because I was previously using a crappy Verizon box, and I know everyone out there, la, 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 you should cut your cable. Not everybody in the world, starting with my wife, has the same TV habits as you do. So there's still some valid reasons to have cable television, and it's been pretty handy for us to use this TiVo, but I am frustrated with the UI, even though I think it's much better than...
it's the best. Like if you just go to your cable company and ask for... You don't have to ask. They're going to push it to you. Like they're overheating, ginormous DVR box that they want you to pay $2 a month for or whatever instead of a TiVo. Like, the UI on those is terrible.
$15 a month, man.
Whatever. I don't know. That's, yeah, see, that's why whatever. I don't have that thing anymore.
I still have to pay $5 a month to Verizon for the privilege of their cable card.
Yeah.
Which I pop into the TiVo. But, you know, I did the math, and I think I break even after 3 years. Which I don't, well, I don't know, man.
If you had done this a couple years ago, I would say yes. But
it would have been pretty smart. 3 years,
things are going to... I'm not saying you wasted your money, but...
Yeah.
3 years, I hope, please, I hope that TV over the internet is a little bit better than it is now. I feel like it's just finally happening right now. You can buy HBO by itself, finally.
Yeah.
You can do things like Sling and get 10 or a dozen channels that you actually want for a reasonable price and stream them over the internet from your Mac or iPad or whatever. So it's like we're almost there. We're so close.
Yeah. I think I could probably a la carte a lot of the stuff that we end up recording on TV, but it's just kind of convenient to just have like a one pay once and just get, you know, and it's, I mean, it's like we record stuff from disparate interests and like trashiness and, you know, when occasionally there's like a political, well, this didn't work out actually for me. I think Fox News, for some reason, is not included in my cable lineup. It's weird. It's like it's a blessing, but it came to bite
really
me.
Really strange. You sure you didn't delete the channel from your...
I don't know. I ended up having to watch it on Apple TV, that last Republican debate. But let's not get off into politics. Just to say, like, there's a lot of stuff, like, when I'm... Every time, like, something is on and people out on the internet are whining, like... Does anybody have cable? Like, because I want to watch the Oscars. Does anybody have cable? I need this. And I'm like, you're the same people who are preaching to me that you don't need cable. And then it's kind of nice to have it. And it's nice to be able to just set up a bunch of stuff to record.
Yeah.
So I guess all of that to say, I'm really excited about this Apple TV. But now I can just see that there's going to be like this rift in our TV setup. Because I know we're going to need to keep... and want to keep the programmed cable stuff for a while. I guess that's what made me kind of excited about the rumors that Apple was lining up kind of a cable-like lineup of programming. And it sounds like that's not happening yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be totally surprised if they kind of sneak that in too, but I also no longer think it's necessary. Let networks that produce their content and want to get it to... viewers, let them have a way to do that through apps. I think it's fine. I don't think we need anything bigger than that. It's worked for Netflix. It's worked for Hulu.
Yeah.
Works for Amazon, HBO now. Eventually, it'll work for, you know, MLB already does this. NBA almost does it for most of their games. We're getting there. But anyway, the Apple TV is a big thing. I don't know if it's, I don't know, do they start with the Apple TV? Do they end with, I don't know, because there's so much else. If they do... release the iPad Pro, which there's a news report out from 9to5 Mac today that says they will announce it next week and it'll ship, you know, a month later. That is huge. I mean, if it has a stylus, fantastic. You know, the rumor is it'll ship with just a slightly updated version of iOS 9, 9.1. It'll be 13 inches. That is really big for an iPad.
It's crazy.
I mean, I love this and I kind of... Almost, I want to see this next week, and I want to see it soon, but I also kind of wish they were 6 months late because I don't need to be buying any more Apple hardware right now. I have a pretty brand new MacBook Pro. I've got the Apple Watch that I, you know.
You have no job.
Exactly. I have no revenue whatsoever coming in. But I'll have to get one of these because this is what I've wanted the whole time. Before they announced the iPad and the rumors were circulating, we talked on the show about what is this thing going to be. And I said I wanted to run Mac OS, not iOS, because I want a stylus to work. I want, you know, Acorn and Photoshop and these types of apps to work on a tablet. Of course, they didn't do that. They made the right call, no question. It's great with iOS. But now, finally, years later, we're going to see it come back to those things that I wanted at the very beginning, where you can really expand it into more productivity apps. The stylus is huge if they actually do it and it actually has like pressure sensitivity.
It's crazy times, man. It's, this stuff, the stylus, there's another example of stuff that reminds me of, you know, I hate people who presume to know what Steve Jobs would or wouldn't have done. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, stylus.
Never.
And the same thought came to mind earlier today. For whatever reason, I was thinking about Android, and I was thinking about that job listing on the current jobs board for an Android developer at Apple.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, oh, I kind of glossed right over that at the beginning, because, you know, they announced Apple Music would have an Android client, and I didn't think about it at the time, or at least I don't remember thinking about it, but that whole line of thinking that Apple would make an Android client and that Apple would hire Android developers, I don't see that happening with Steve Jobs there.
Yeah.
He was too pissed about that.
Right. I think you're right. And it's, you could say, well, he did iTunes for Windows, but that was after years of him getting over that, right? And coming to terms with it, and Microsoft investing in Apple. And, you know, I mean, that was a long time later. And even then he acknowledged, you know, hell froze over and, you know, yeah, we're finally doing this. I agree. I don't think there would be a rush to get an Android version out. I don't think there would be a rush to get a stylus. They've probably been working on the stylus off and on for a while. It's the kind of thing that he would probably come in the room and say, forget it.
I wonder how many broken styluses there would be in the boardroom meetings of Apple Computer. Right. Apple Inc. Yeah.
Engineers always made a few prototypes because one's hidden away and one's to give to Steve. And he smashes it over his knee.
I would hasten to add, I do give Steve Jobs credit enough to that even through his, like, vein popping anger about Android, somebody could probably make the case to him. Somebody brave and familiar with making cases to Steve Jobs would make the case that, in spite of his disdain for the platform and for Google, that you know, that it was like the only realistic way to make Apple Music the success that it needed to be. And then I think I just want to say, for the record, I can envision that happening, that conversation turning to Steve Jobs grudgingly accepting that Apple would be paying the Android developer fee. Is there one? I don't know. And submitting apps to Google for review for possible immediate publication to the Google Android App Store.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely the kind of person that will change his mind and admit when he's wrong eventually. So, yeah, who knows? Mm-hmm. The stylist, though, that would be years.
Yeah.
He's on the record as saying no one wants the scribbly thing. So, and also the whole thing with the Newton. I mean, there's so much history there. I really think it would have taken a long time. And it was great in a way, because not jumping to the stylus is the first thing. Like, his dislike of that as an input device allowed them to build something amazing with touch input. Whereas if I was building something and starting out, I'd be like, hire all the Newton people back, right? And let's ship this new thing that we should have done years ago. And maybe it would have been great. And I actually do think that if the Newton team had been allowed to keep going instead of their, you know, Apple's tablet and kind of phone type device PDA efforts put on hold for so many years, I think we would have ended up with something amazing eventually. But anyway, we wouldn't have had the iPhone, right? If I was in charge and said, let's just keep doing the Newton as it is.
It
always has a stylus. Okay, this week we're happy to have back sponsor Smile Software. Smile loves podcasts, and everyone loves a deal. So Smile is offering 20% off new licenses purchased directly from Smile through October 15th. Save 20% on PDF Pen, the all-purpose Mac PDF editor, add signatures, text, and images, make changes and correct typos, OCR scan docs, export to Microsoft Word format, and more. Take 20% off PDF Pen Pro and start making interactive forms, building table of contents, and converting web pages to PDFs. And get 20% off Text Expander, which saves your fingers and your keyboard, expanding custom keyboard shortcuts into frequently used text and pictures. So visit smilesoftware.com/coreint or use coupon coreint at checkout.
Yeah, this is a great offer from Smile. As you all know from our previous promotions of their stuff, and probably just as you've heard through the Mac and iOS community, this is a great company. They make great stuff. They're fair. They make quality software. They want to give you a discount. Let's face it, because they want to make it that much more likely that you'll run to your browser, go to the website, smilesoftware.com/coreint, and finally follow through probably on that long-standing urge you've had to go buy some of their stuff. Now, Manton said in the read that they sent us Smile Loves Podcasts, and we know that that is true, but we also believe they probably love Core Intuition just a slight tiny bit more than all the other podcasts combined. We would really appreciate it if you have been on the fence about buying any of their great stuff. I want to make a note, of course, this is the world outside the App Store, so it doesn't work on Mac App Store stuff. Coupons is one of those great liberties that we have as indie developers to still offer folks when we're dealing with sales through our own sites. And this is a great example of Smile using that flexibility to offer you all a great discount on their stuff. The discount is actually good through October 15th, but you know how this goes. If you put it off, you'll probably forget until October 16th, and then you'll be sad because you would have missed all of that great chance to buy great software with a great discount. There's some other caveats. It does not apply to ebooks or upgrades. I think that they're just kind of covering their bases, but the gist of it is their main software products are on sale for 20% off if you use the CoreInt coupon. And an easy way to make sure you use that coupon is to go to smilesoftware.com/CoreInt. You can combine the purchase and purchase all three of these apps at once. PDF Pen, or you wouldn't want to purchase PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro, but you can purchase PDF Pen Pro and Text Expander together and get 20% off and have some great software. So do it for yourself. Tell your friends if they've been thinking about buying this stuff. There's no rule against telling them the magic word CoreInt and the URL again, smilesoftware.com/CoreInt. Thank you very much to Smile Software for their ongoing support of Core Intuition. And thank you to our listeners for hopefully going out and letting them know that their sponsorship makes a difference.
All right, Daniel, so the event is next week. There is one other thing that I was hoping would be announced, and it looks like it's not going to be mentioned at all, and that is the iPhone 6C, which I've always thought from, you know, as long as I started thinking about this, basically ever since the iPhone 6 came out, is that they can't completely abandon the 4-inch iPhone form factor. There's so many great reasons to have a smaller phone. I still think the 6 and the 6 Plus are too big, but even if I didn't think that, there's plenty of people, kids, I mean, there's so many people that don't want a huge phone. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that they would do a 6C that has updated internals, still 4 inches, kind of in line with the 5C. Mm-hmm. It's not the latest and greatest, but that's okay. It's a little better than the 5C. It's a little better than the 5S. Looks like they might not do that. I still think they're going to do this, but maybe not next week. Maybe they'll roll it out at the beginning of 2016. You know, maybe they'll pick a quarter where they need some extra sales and they'll put it out there. I don't know how or when, but I still believe they're gonna do a 4-inch device again. And it wasn't that long ago, maybe a few weeks, a month ago, they completely refreshed the iPod Touch. It's a 4-inch iOS device. It looks great, comes in colors, and it's fast. Like, it's the fastest iPod Touch. It's, you know, it has the best camera. It's way better than my 5C, way better than the 5S, and it's $200.
It's tiny. It's super, super tiny. It's amazing.
Why not add cellular to that and make it a phone? I really think it's a great move. It will not outsell the 6S. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people gave the 5C a hard time because they had just this kind of inflated idea about how many they were going to sell. But if you think about the 5C, in reality, it was brilliant because they took the iPhone 5, which was not going to be a bestseller anymore, and they just slapped a fresh coat of paint on it, made it look cool, made it feel great. I love the feel of the 5C, and they ended up selling a bunch of them. It doesn't matter that it didn't sell as many as the 5S. It sold way more than the 5 would have. So I really think the 6C is a great move. I really hope they do it, but it sounds like not next week.
I don't know. I never know how to tell with these leaks. They seem additive in nature, right? Like, it seems like it's really easy to get like a good scoop on something that is going to be announced. and not so necessarily easy to be able to say definitively that they've gotten everything, right?
Like, yes, except in this case, again, 9to5Mac, I don't know where the sources come from, but there was an article just maybe a week ago that said, no 6C. It's not coming.
No 6C, yeah. Well, I guess they have, I don't follow this stuff, but I guess these days it's easier to speculate about hardware because they inevitably like leak the form factors from the factories in China, et cetera, et cetera. So
right.
I'm looking at apple.com/iPhone/compare. And this is a great page that says how to compare your iPhone choices. And it has this beautiful staircase going from iPhone 6 Plus down to iPhone 6, down to iPhone 5s. It's not going to look as good, Manton, if it's just an iPhone 6 and an iPhone, iPhone 6 Plus and an iPhone 6S Plus. I'm so confused already.
Tripping over the words. So this is what the rumor says.
Yeah.
6S, 6S Plus. They're going to keep the 6 around and the 6 Plus around. They're dropping the 5C. They'll keep the 5S around as the free phone. So there are five phones.
Oh, I see. Lineup. So they're dropping the colors. Yeah.
Dropping the colors. Huge mistake, in my opinion. I think the 5C is a brilliant device. I really think it doesn't get enough credit. But anyway, you go to the iPod Touch page. Lots of color, first of all. Looks great. But also, has the A8 in it? I mean, this is a for $200, if you don't need to make phone calls.
It's a crazy powerful thing.
It's a great deal.
And it's this... And it's the slimmest. I held one at the Apple store the other day because I went in to get some last minute iPhone 6 warranty repairs done. And as much of a geek as I am, I don't go to the Apple store all that often. So this was actually my first time trying a bunch of new stuff. I tried the magical trackpad, force touchy thing. Mm-hmm. I held the new iPod Touch. Whenever I hold an iPod Touch of any generation, I'm like, oh my God, this is what all phones should be like. Mm. This is so nice and small. Yeah, that's interesting. It is frustrating, I think, especially for people who... It's funny now that we're like satisfied to just have the iPhone 5 be the small phone, of course. Like some of us went kicking and screaming to it from the iPhone 4. Yeah. But
I thought I would use the 4S forever and ever. I still think
I
wouldn't go back to it now. And not because it's too small, but because apps are too big now. Like even my apps they assume 4-inch. I mean, they work on the 4S and they scroll and stuff, but really apps now feel like they were built for the 4-inch screen and higher. But I remain convinced the 4S, the best iPhone that was ever designed. I really think it was the best. That thing was rock solid. Had a really good design.
I have to just be so self-effacing and apologetic about my previous assumption that I would just go kicking and screaming into iPhone 6 size, because I look at my iPhone 6 now, it just goes to show how psychology is so weird, because it is a little tiny bit too big for my hand, but I don't think I would choose to go back now, which is terribly weird to say. Like, I don't think I would choose an iPhone 5 form factor, which I can't.
That is why I didn't upgrade, because I know I would get used to that stupid large phone. I don't want to get used to the large phone. I like the size of the iPhone 5, 5C, 5S. I like the 4-inch phone. I think it's perfect. I don't want to get used. Yeah, I'd get used to the 6 Plus if I carried around enough. And not only would I get used to it, I would justify the fact that I had it in some weird way.
Yeah.
Like I would start talking about, well, I want to use my apps so I know what my customers are going through. I'd talk about wanting split screen and landscape. I mean, I'd make up reasons why I love the thing. I don't want that to happen. I like the phone size I have.
I want to stick to my own firmly held beliefs, mistaken or not, damn it.
They're not mistaken, though, because you just said, I think it's a little too big, but I'm used to it. That's a quote from you.
Well, the corollary to that is that I now think, in some respects, that the iPhone 5 is a little too small.
Okay.
So it's a rough compromise.
Yeah. You got to draw the line somewhere. And thankfully, yeah. Apple's the kind of company that is not going to make 20 sizes of phones. I believe 3 is a good number.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll settle on 2 sizes, agree. But yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, come on. For crying out loud, there should at least be an iPhone 5 form factor for, let's face it, young people. Mm-hmm. You know, not all kids per se have their own iPhone, but young people, smaller people, you know, not adults yet, 16-year-olds, whatever. It's more appropriate for them to have something that's smaller. Right. To putting aside the fact that the iPhone 6, I have pretty small hands, but putting aside the fact the iPhone 6 is probably too big for some people, some adults. So it's kind of a problem in itself right there, just from like, just from like an accessibility point of view, it almost seems like, come on, just accommodate people's varying hand sizes. It's like Craig Hockenberry is stoked now because he's got like the iPhone 6 Plus probably.
He uses the iPad mini as his phone.
Yeah, he'll be using the iPad Pro. Does this thing come with a Verizon plan?
Yeah, so the other thing, I don't know what the numbers say. I'm sure someone could look at some spreadsheets and sales and stuff, but the 5, the 5S, and the 5C have been around for a long time. The 5S is still being sold. 5C is today. Next week, the 5S will still be sold brand new, straight from the factory. The 6, 6 Plus, they've been out a little less than a year, something like that. What I'm getting at is there are probably way, way more people that have used a 4-inch device, especially if you count all the iPod touches. They are used to that. That is must be the most popular size. If you take every iPhone that's out there, the 4-inch is probably the most popular.
Yeah.
So to turn your back on those people and say they were wrong or they can't upgrade their camera and keep the same screen size, I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess time will tell. But you know, speaking of compromises for cameras, that little nubbin on the iPhone 6, this is coming clean day, Manson. That doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
It's never bothered me. And it only bothers me in theory. I think a lot of us nerds, especially, we're bothered in theory much more than we're bothered in practice.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So I am bothered. I'm right there with you. Bothered that I don't have an iPhone 5 form factor. Still, there's many times when it would be handy. It would fit into my little running pack easier. It would be easier to hold, so I wouldn't drop it. But there's just no getting around it. The bigger screen is nice. It's it lends itself to more things. So it's interesting, Manton. You are a person who I think values having the largest possible iPad and the smallest possible phone.
Well, actually, that's not totally true because my favorite iPad is the Mini, the Retina Mini.
Okay.
And I have no problem with the big one. I like it. My wife has the iPad 2. Air 2, I guess, whatever the new one is that they have. And she likes it a lot, and it's great. I love using it, especially since we put iOS 9 on it, and so she gets all the new multitasking stuff on that. But I have the Retina Mini, the first one of those, and really love it. And I expect I will keep using that iPad for a long time, unless I get the Pro. I don't know. The thing about the Pro is the stylus to me. It's not the 13-inch. It's the stylus. Uh-huh. So if the only way you can get the new productivity features and the stylus support is the big iPad, I'll probably have to get one. And I'll just sell my Mini, I guess. I'm not the kind of person that wants more than one iPad. I think one is fine and they're all good.
Yeah.
Right now I prefer the Mini, but man, that stylus, definitely want it.
So I'm the kind of person who would like to just have one iPad that's actually mine. That's not relegated to my kids, because I have been the owner of iPads now since they came out. I have an iPad original, and then I got that iPad, I guess they call it the iPad 2, the first Retina one.
That was the 3, first Retina one.
Oh, iPad 3, yeah. Okay. I have just like those darned kids, they just lure me into letting them quote-unquote borrow my iPad. And then the next thing I know, it's like in regular rotation, and I don't have an iPad anymore.
Yep.
So maybe I need to get one of these iPad Mini 4s, and then that'll be my iPad.
Yeah, we have three iPads in the house, I guess, now. We have the brand new big size iPad that is my wife's, and the idea was that I would replace a computer for her for a lot of things. Of course, she still uses the iMac a lot, but she doesn't. Her old MacBook Air went to one of my daughters, so she uses the iPad a lot. Not for everything. She still has to use a Mac a lot, but she uses the iPad a lot. I have the Mini, which I use, you know, pretty frequently. And then my son has an old iPad 1 for games and stuff. But the problem with the 1 is that
it
only runs iOS 5, right? So I know, we're on the right now we're getting to the point where it's almost unusable because apps are just not supporting it anymore.
It's practically child abuse. Yeah. You know, that's what actually lured me into giving my not, I say giving because that's what it's amounted to. It started off with like, oh, there's just this one game that will only work on the iPad, the newer iPad. And I'm like, oh, this is my work iPad. Make a big like song and dance about it. Daddy needs to work. And, you know, because, you know, I got to work on that Mars edit for iPad. That's pretty much my top priority all the time. And then I gave it to him for that. And it was like, for a while, it was like he's just borrowing it when he wants to play that game. And then, like you've noticed, it's like more and more, they only work on the new one. So now we've got it down to where basically like the iPad 1 is still a great like streaming video device, but it does not work with a lot of new games. So hopefully, you know, one good thing I keep hearing from iPad and iOS developers, they kind of complain that like that iPad, that Retina iPad is kind of like considered the like people have to support back to that. I hope that lasts for a little while so I can keep my son on that iPad while I move on to something newer.
All right, Daniel Wells, good talking to you this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to our sponsor, Smile Software. Don't forget coupon code CoreInt to save 20% off all their Mac products purchased directly. That's at smilesoftware.com/CoreInt. And the job store. We got a few really good jobs yesterday posted to jobs.coreint.org. And as Daniel said, we've got stuff from Apple still. That one about Android I thought was interesting because, for the most part, we only let jobs on the site that are iOS and Mac, right? If Objective-C isn't somewhere in the description or it talks about, you know, mobile and Mac experience, it's not appropriate for our site because we want it to be relevant and not where you have to weed through 20 jobs and only one of them is relevant. And so in the past, we have had some posts that are like for Java or sysadmin or something that's just not appropriate. And we've had to refund their money and take it off the job site pretty quick.
Yeah.
This one, we let on because yes, it's Android, but you're working with,
you're working for Apple,
which of course is totally our audience, right? Everybody, I mean, almost everybody that listens to the show loves Apple in some way. And you're also, you're going to be right next to the iOS developers.
Yeah.
You're going to be on a team that's both iOS and Android, right?
That's all our assumption, I think. I don't think that was in the job listing, but it stands to reason that that there's going to be some cocoa influence over the job working for an Android app at Apple. And it also occurred to me, you know, it was true. This was like a four-alarm fire when this job listing came in because it's like, oh, we are so grateful to have Apple posting job listings to our board. And we have this kind of like fussy, only cocoa jobs is the gist of it. And so I'm like texting Manton. I'm like, whoop, 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 four-alarm fire. We have an Android listing. and then I'm like, but it's from Apple and it's kind of unique. And we finally decided to leave it up there. And there's a lot of good reasons, I think. I hope that most of our audience agrees. One of the great reasons I thought was, imagine you're an Android developer who works like Android and you've just gotten the bug of iOS and you're just starting to learn the ropes. And you're like, you know, I'd really like to become an iOS developer. Maybe you switched your personal phone over to iOS, to iPhone. You're still working on Android stuff professionally. And you're just like, how do I break into this market of writing iOS apps? Well, if I were in that position, I would be beating Apple's door down for this Android job because you have to imagine if you want to get into iOS and you happen to already be a pro at Android, working on Apple's Android development team would be an ideal place for that to happen.
Yep.
So there's a lot of good reasons, I think, to keep this listing up there. Hopefully people won't see it as a breach of our standards. I think that we have good rationale for keeping it up there. And of course, if other folks have presumably, let's not push this. Let's not have a bunch of Android job listings up there. But if you have companies that have Cocoa jobs to list, please put them up there. Encourage your bosses to go to jobs.corient.org and advertise for your great new coworker. Or if you're looking for a job, of course, that's a great place to look. Some of the Manton mentioned some of the companies that are listing there now. I mean, I continue to be amazed at some of the stuff that's up there. You can work for Nest. Some of the brand names, especially, just like I don't want to say that they're better than any of the other jobs, because I'm sure that the other jobs that I don't recognize the brands are also great. But I kind of find it just like reassuring when there's brand names among the jobs, because it shows me the breadth of the job listing appeal.
So. Yeah, and if you're a small company and you're thinking about hiring someone and wondering if you should post, I think it's also great to have your company right there next to all these other great companies. You know, because maybe people haven't heard of your company yet. Maybe in a couple years you will be a strong brand. But in the meantime, if you're looking for an iOS developer, I think this is a great place to be along with these other companies, right?
Yep. So enough about us. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in again. Manton, it's been great chatting with you, and I will talk to you again next week.
Okay. See you.